Part 3, Chapter 6. The moment she was out on the bridge, she wanted to turn around and run back to the proc. There was a cool breeze blowing and the bridge was swaying. She could see between the wooden slats to the foaming, rushing river thousands of feet below. The noise of the waterfall was terrifying. She looked back. The proc raised his arm. "Go on, Miss Lindy. Once you get started, it doesn't seem so bad. Just make it halfway. From there, it's easy." Lindy walked on and tried to keep her head up. It was better if she did not look down. She thought of her brothers and wondered what they would do while she was gone. She remembered how sad the Wangdoodle had looked when he talked about being lonely, and how important he had made her feel when he asked her to try to bring the professor back. She clutched the gold ring he had given her and quickened her pace. She looked for the professor, but he was nowhere in sight. "Professor! Professor!" Her voice echoed from the chasm. "Professor!" she cried louder, but there was no reply. Lindy ran the remaining length of the bridge. Looking around, she remembered the dreadful Gyactus and hoped fervently that the Wangdoodle would keep his promise. "Professor! Where are you?" She noticed a bright clump of yellow flowers on the ground ahead of her. As she watched, they moved slightly. With a jolt of happiness, Lindy realized that they were not flowers at all, but the yellow butterflies on the professor's open umbrella. "Hello? Hello?" His head appeared over the rim. He looked startled. "Lindy, good gracious, what are you doing here all by yourself?" "Oh, Professor!" She ran to him and flung her arms around his neck. "I thought maybe you'd gone back without us or something."
"But I told you I'd wait for you."
"Why were you under the umbrella?"
Well, if you recall, I was fighting with the Gyactus when you left. The wretched creature knocked me out. When I came to, the monster had disappeared. I didn't want to take the chance of his coming back and finding me, so I camouflaged myself with the umbrella. Thought he'd mistake it for a bunch of flowers."
"That's what I thought it was," Lindy said with a smile.
"Now, what's been happening, and where are the boys? Did you see the Wangdoodle?"
"Oh, golly!" And she sprang to her feet and began to pull at his sleeve. "Come on, Professor, you've got to come with me. It's terribly important. The Wangdoodle wants to see you."
"What?"
"He sent me to get you. The boys are still in the palace. We can't get home because the proc has their scrappy cats. So you've got to come and tell him to let us go." She urged him towards the bridge.
Wait a minute, Lindy. I can't cross the bridge. I told you I couldn't."
"But you've got to. I came all this way to find you and bring you back. You just have to get across. The Wangdoodle's waiting to talk to you."
"Why would he want to see me?" The professor was puzzled.
"I don't know. He seemed really serious about it. Look, he sent you this ring."
The professor turned the ring over and over in his hand. "Amazing, just amazing." He looked with desperate longing across the chasm to the glittering palace. Lindy suddenly knew that she had to be very firm.
"Take my hand, Professor, and come with me."
"I can't, Lindy. I would give you my soul to come with you, but I can't see the bridge. What can I do?"
"You can see the Wangdoodle's ring, can't you?" she cried.
"Yes."
"Well, that proves that the Wangdoodle's waiting for you. It proves that there really is a bridge, too, because how could I bring the ring to you otherwise? All you have to do is trust me. The bridge is there, I promise. You only have to walk across."
"But I don't see it."
"Then don't look. Keep your eyes on me. Hold my hand and don't look down, whatever you do."
He hesitated, and she gave a small cry of frustration. She pulled him toward the edge of the chasm and began talking, saying the first things that came into her head.
"It's such a little way across. Really, it is. Just make it halfway and the rest is easy. Oh, Professor, wait until you see the inside of the palace. You won't believe how beautiful it is. It's shining and cool and peaceful. There's room for everybody in the whole world. But it isn't at all a lonely place. Keep looking at me, Professor. Hold my hand tighter."
She walked slowly onto the silk bridge, and the professor took a deep breath and followed, never taking his eyes from Lindy's face.
"You'll see the most beautiful gardens with such flowers and fountains. The trees are mostly bright, bright blue, but the undersides of all the leaves have different colors. Some are emerald green, some are white, and some are pale yellow. You'll see, there's music about the place all the time, a lovely sound that makes you feel calm and happy. There are flutterbys and pretty flags flying in the breeze. Lindy gave a quick glance behind her. They were halfway across the bridge. You're going to love the Wangdoodle. You were absolutely right about him. He's the best creature you could ever meet. He's funny and nice, but he's lonely. I think he misses our world and would like to come back, only he says he never would. He has the dearest, sweetest tooth. He says you must be a very clever man, and I told him that you were and that you knew all about life and everything. Lindy, the professor hesitated. Don't stop now, she said in a clear voice. We're almost there. Only a few more steps and you'll be off the bridge. Count them. 1, 2, 3, 4. There you are, Professor. You've made it. I told you it could be done. Here's the proc. He'll lead the way from now on. Lindy let go of the professor's hands and stepped back. She was trembling from head to foot. The professor looked around, dazed and bewildered. He looked at the proc, looked at Lindy, looked up at the shining turrets of the palace etched against the clear red sky. When he spoke, his voice was husky and his eyes were brimming. It's every bit as wonderful as you said. Oh dear, oh dear. Lindy was as happy and proud as she had ever been in her life. The proc led the way into the palace.
So you're the one who's been causing all the fuss.
The Wangdoodle stared at the professor.
In all my years, I don't think I've ever come across such a persistent, persevering man. You've been a nuisance, but you are welcome.
The professor gazed rapturously at the Wangdoodle, and then he sank to his knees. Your Majesty, this is a tremendous pleasure.
Yes, yes, well, get up, get up. There is much to talk about. You want some watch?
No, thank you, sire.
You have 3 staunch supporters, I must say.
The Wangdoodle waved a hoof towards Ben and Tom and Lindy.
You train them well, very well, but for them, you might not be here.
And vice versa, Tom interrupted loyally. The professor smiled. I consider myself a lucky man in every respect. The Wangdoodle bounced in his chair.
Yes, yes, I'm glad you crossed the bridge. I look forward to some splendid talks. I cannot tell you how much I have missed the stimulus of human company. Later, we will celebrate. But now, I have a favor to ask of you, a great favor.
I will do anything, Your Majesty, the professor said, smiling.
Splendid, splendid. The children have been telling me about your wonderful discovery concerning the secret of life.
Oh, have they? The professor looked at them in bewilderment. They know very little about it, sire.
Well, no matter. The point is, I want you to make me another Wangdoodle.
I beg your pardon?
That's the favor I want. I want you to make a Wangdoodle for me. Now, I know you're saying to yourself, what kind of Wangdoodle? Well, obviously, I want a female Wangdoodle.
The Wangdoodle jumped up and paced about the room, changing color rapidly.
You see, it's been so quiet and lonely here all these years. Then 4 human beings arrive on my doorstep, which is sensational enough. And then I learn that you are a professor with an incredible discovery. And I suddenly realize that all my dreams might possibly come true.
He paused in front of the professor.
I would have a family and I wouldn't be extinct. I would never be lonely again. You do understand how desperately important this is to me, don't you?
Oh, sire, the professor lifted a hand to his brow. I'm afraid there has been a terrible misunderstanding. I would give anything to be able to grant your wish and make you a Wangdoodle, but it's impossible. I would not know how to begin.
Tom said, but you told us the secret of life had been discovered, professor.
Yes, yes, you did, lisped the Wangdoodle emphatically.
But discovering the secret of life and being able to make it work are 2 entirely different things. It will be a long time before man is ready to take the next tremendous step.
We'll be the first. Start a fashion.
The Wangdoodle waved his arms excitedly. Lindy ran to the professor.
I remember you said that in a very little while, people like you would be able to make life.
There you are, cried the Wangdoodle,
triumphantly. If you said that, you must have a great deal of knowledge.
Go on, Professor. I bet you could do it, encouraged Ben.
No, no, listen to me, the professor pleaded. They all started to speak to him at once. The noise was deafening.
Just a minute, just a minute, shouted the Wang Doodle. He stamped his foot and winced with pain.
He turned to the professor and said, I want some questions answered. A simple yes or no will suffice. You admit that the secret of life has been discovered?
Yes, Your Majesty.
If it has been discovered, I assume you know what makes life.
Yes, Your Majesty.
But if you know what makes it, you know how to make it.
Well,
listen to me. There must have been a number of experiments.
Yes, Sire. There are many things being tried. There is something called cloning, and then there's microdissection and implantation.
Have you been present at these experiments?
Most of them, Your Majesty. We've had some amazing success with frogs.
The Wang Doodle glowed pink with delight. Well then, this is all very clear to me. I don't see what all the fuss is about. If you have been smart enough to find the secret of life, and it works on a frog, for heaven's sakes, why not a Wang Doodle? I am a willing subject for research. All you have to do is get your thinking organized, and I am certain that you will come up with the solution.
The professor gave an exasperated sigh. Your Majesty, how can I convince you that you are asking for the impossible? I hate to disappoint you, but the work in genetics is really just beginning. I've devoted most of my life to research, and yet I only have a few answers. How could I possibly know enough to create a Wang Doodle?
The Wang Doodle stared at the professor and slowly turned a very pale blue. He looked terribly dejected and slumped back on his throne. After a moment, he said,
Father, that's very sad. I had such high hopes. I was so certain that your presence here meant that something special was going to happen. I must have been wrong. It's too disappointing for words.
The proc said gently,
Your Majesty.
No, no, the Wang Doodle held up a hoof. I'd rather not discuss it anymore. I think I'd like to be by myself for a while.
He got up and walked toward the tapestry. As he did so, he began to disappear until only his eyes and antlers remained. Eventually, they also vanished. His voice was the last thing to go.
It's really depressing. I never wanted anything so much in my whole life. Silly of me to suppose it might be possible.
A large, shiny tear rolled down the tapestry. There was a long silence in the room after he'd gone.
Lindy said, That's awful, Professor. He was crying.
What a shame, Tom said with feeling. I wish we could have done something.
I cannot make a Wang Doodle, the professor stated.
The proc cleared his throat. He spoke slowly and was obviously having difficulty in saying what he felt.
Couldn't you just try? His Majesty wants another Wang Doodle more than anything else in the world. You know how he feels. You wanted to get to Wang Doodle Land more than anything in the world. The king was gracious enough to meet with you. Won't you return the favor and try this for him?
The children had never heard the proc speak with such feeling. The professor shut his eyes.
I would love to help. I don't like to see the Wang Doodle upset any more than you do, but I can't see how it's possible.
Lindy interrupted.
You know what, Professor? Ever since we met, you've been saying to us, you can, you can, you can, but lately all I've heard is, I can't, I can't, I can't.
Ben said quickly, you once said that whatever man can imagine, he can do.
Lindy clapped her hands. You said that you couldn't cross the bridge, but you did.
Oh, Professor, cried Tom, give it a chance. How do you know you can't make a Wang Doodle until you've tried?
The children clustered around him. The proc said, Professor, I know you are a man of great strength. When you choose to believe in something, you are unshakable. Won't you believe now that this experiment is possible? The professor looked at the four of them. Four pairs of eyes staring at him, unblinking, waiting for his reply. He mumbled,
I would need equipment. It's liable to take a long time.
Tell me what you need, said the proc. I will see that you get it.
The professor held his forehead in concentration.
I would need a dissecting microscope, possibly a laser beam, ultrafine dissecting equipment, saline solution, flasks, culture tubes. His words were drowned by the cheer that came from the children. They danced around the professor, hugging him, patting him, kissing him, laughing with happiness. Even the proc smiled broadly.